Hi, my name's Jim Smith.
Hi, I'm George Pitts.
And you're listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, brought to you in conjunction with Podomatic,
iTunes,
and WCRFM.com. For more details on me and George, go to myspace.com/Jim and George. Start again? Yeah!
You're going to do a Christopher McCandless, aren't you? Go and live out in Canada and starve yourself to death.
Leave my clothes on a beach. Just go and set up my own commune. No, my own religion.
You know what? I'm going to start my... Fat Jesus.
Let's go!
You are the Messiah.
Let's just leave.
Well, you're not really Fat Jesus. You're more Big Jesus. Frightening Jesus. If Jesus was 6'5" and looked like, you know...
I am the Midlands' most rotund Messiah lookalike.
You know, if Jesus was a wrestler, he'd be like Randy Robinson in The Wrestler.
Here's something from your side of the desk, George.
Okay, I got this from the Yahoo News. Mayor's lip hair in shave or save battle.
Okay.
The mayor of the Salt Lake City suburb of Murray says he has little choice but to shave his nearly foot-long handlebar moustache.
Oh, no!
I'm telling you, lovers of the handlebar, anyone who's listened to Jim and I before will know that we're big fans of the facial hair.
Oh,
you know, the big, crude, Wyatt Earp style handlebar moustache, you know, the real old school.
Yeah, but it comes from a time gone by, really. It's an age that with the age of the beard and the crude mustache and the beautifully crafted moustache. See, you go back to Victorian times.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had so. There were some beautiful beards going on.
That's
there.
Right.
And some men would have the big, droopy muzzy, and some people would have the waxed up, pointed muzzy.
Oh, with the curly bits.
And some people would grow the big, thick, Amos Brearley, bruising pork chop sideburns. We don't anymore. Do you know why that is, George? Because they give women the vote.
Oh.
And they got all uppity.
Ooh.
And got in our lives.
Scandalous.
Started telling us what to do.
I shan't have it.
And we're not allowed to grow beards anymore.
It's an outrage.
See, you go back to the days of the Wild West.
Yeah.
When women were little more there to serve the drinks and look good in petticoats.
Yeah.
And men felt free. Water felt free and unencumbered to grow himself an enormous handlebar muzzy like a bison's antler.
Well, you know what?
Women stole moustaches from us, George. Women!
It wasn't women. It wasn't the women. And without sounding like a homophobe...
What is the only group of people left in the world who feel fit to grow moustaches?
The gay community.
Gay community, no women.
See? Now, you see, like, I'm no homophobe. I don't mind the gay community. But it wasn't until...
We want our beards back!
It was the village people that stole the handlebar moustache. Because if you look back through the 70s, early 70s films, there was a lot of heterosexual male characters in films that did have a handlebar. All of a sudden, the village people crop up with the YMCA, levered up to the max, dressing up with handlebar tashes, ruined it forever. That's it. Stole our thunder forever.
I blame the women. I think women did it. Women stole beards from us.
You think?
The magnificent skill. I don't know if you've ever tried to grow a beard.
Well, I've
much harder than you realise.
I've sported a beard for a couple of months, yeah.
Yeah, but you see, you just grow it up and then shave it off, don't you? None of us ever get involved in trimmage.
Well, you see, I don't mind the full-on growth. I mean, once it gets past stubble stage and really starts to grow, it's quite cool waking up every morning. Because you look at yourself and you think, I do look a bit rugged and I do look a bit dangerous and a bit windswept. But then, after a while, you just think, well, now I just do look like a raving tramp. I need to get rid of it.
This is the thing, you see. Now, I am not a big fan. I am not a big visitor to the razor. I'm not the mayor of Razorville,
no.
If you like, and I will leave it as long as I can. But you know, when you get up in the morning, you haven't shaved for a few days, and you think, "Well, should I shave today?" No, I look a bit hard. That's okay. No, I look a bit grisly. That's okay. I can stand to look a bit rough around the edges. That's okay. It's a bit rugged looking. It's a bit tough looking. I look a bit interesting. I look like an outdoorsman. I look like a hunter. I look like somebody who might kill you if you look at them wrong. I look cool with a bit of beard on. It's okay. Right? But when I see somebody who hasn't shaved for 4 or 5 days, I'm a scruffy sod.
Not always.
What are you doing? What are you having a shave? What's the matter with you?
Depends on the person. Depends also what they're wearing with, to complement the beard.
And the other problem with beards is, make your face look fat, especially when people, you know, grow a lot. And again, look, if you're going to grow a beard, right? Yeah. You know when people grow and they grow like a really small strip down here, and then how well does this work on radio? And then a really small strip along here like that, and then it sort of goes up to like a really small, tiny strip of moustache.
I can tell you who's the governor at that. Craig David.
Craig David,
man, how does he manage it? He almost looks like he paints it on with a marker pen or something.
That's exactly what it looks
it's
like.
It's far too perfect.
Just done it with a Sharpie. And so you look like, do you remember, I don't know if you will, but you know, remember Crime Watch where they used to have their photo fits?
Yeah.
And it was just cutouts of people's faces and they just had lines on them. Yeah. But it looks like that. But if you're going to grow a beard, so there's a real liberation in growing a beard. If you're going to grow a beard, real liberation. Yeah, I don't care anymore. I'm having no more interviews, and she can say what she likes. I'm growing the beard, right? And when you finally decide to make that decision, which I haven't, but like when you finally decide to make that decision, there must be a real liberation in not having to shave.
Yeah.
But then if at that point you have to shave bits of your face,
oh man,
and there's more to, and you're just making more work of it.
Well, I think you're very much the same as me. It's all or nothing.
You've clean, done lots.
You're clean-shaven or you're going for a monster look. That's it. Not all this prim and proper and bits and pieces and getting your ruler out and your pedicure scissors. What's all that about? That's not manly, you know. I mean, ultimately, all these things and contraptions that they use to mess around with the face. Anyway, if you're a raving attention seeker, there's nothing better than growing a beard. Because it's something that everyone will comment on. When I grew a beard for, say, 2-3 months... Do you remember when I used to have long hair a couple of years back, Jim?
Yeah.
And I grew a beard. And I found that every day people were commenting on it. Oh, you still haven't had a shave, have you? Oh, you still haven't had a shave. Oh, when are you going to get around to having a shave? Oh, your beard's getting longer. Oh, your beard's getting longer. Oh, you look a bit scruffy. You're not having a shave. You're not having a shave. This went on every day for about 3 months until you give in and have a shave. And then all of a sudden, there's this beautiful kind of comeback of compliments where everyone's like, oh, don't you look so much younger? Oh, aren't you handsome underneath? And it's great. And you almost think, like, oh, man, I want to grow another one now. I want to grow another one just for the sheer rapture of all the compliments of shaving the thing
really
off.
I'd really like to have the strength of character to go a year and really grow a proper, ring road tramp. Style.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, like the Ring Road Tramp, he had a beautiful, stomach-length beard, you know, with bits of food in it from the 70s.
There's all kinds of animals hibernating in there.
Oh, there was stuff in that beard that would turn up on antiques. I don't know. I'm losing my way.
We did a story in the Ring Road Tramp, didn't we?
Yeah.
Didn't he live in the Ring Road for something like several decades?
No, he was. And we found out he was your dad.
No wonder he never gave me nothing. Right, I've lost my way with his story completely. Anyway, I'll start again. The mayor of Salt Lake City suburb of Murray says he has little choice but to shave his nearly foot-long handlebar moustache off for charity. Dan Snar is putting his decision to a vote of residents and says his fashion statement is getting creamed. People are voting shave. It's a way to get back, and an elected official said Snar, who has sported the waxed moustache for nearly 3 years. 3 years he sported a foot-long moustache. I think that's something that should be, you know, that's an honourable thing, man.
Should be celebrated.
You know, if we had an elected politician who had a foot-long moustache, wouldn't you be proud?
Oh, it'd be like a national treasure.
Wouldn't you be proud? Because it just looks so... I mean, Gordon Brown, for example, wears a glass eye. I'd rather him wear the eye patch, because he'd look so frightening and standoffish, and other countries would think, oh, we don't want to mess with England.
I mean, you really hit on something.
Look
there,
at Gordon Brown, he's got an eye patch.
If he had an eye patch and one leg.
One leg, yeah. And he talks a bit like a pirate.
Oh, George, don't. Don't, George, because you know I get too excited. And I can't have these things. You make me dream of these things, and then I can't have them.
And then he perches a parrot and puts it on his shoulder. And you can imagine it in the House of Lords. Aho, there we are,
tears. Do you remember? You won't remember. I think it might be too far back for you. But do you remember, like, David Icke being normal?
Who's David Icke?
Okay, there was a guy, and he was like a sort of middle of the road goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Right. Forever ago. And then he went from there to being a football commentator.
Mm.
And then he went, he was sort of, You know, people knew who David Icke was. Wasn't a massive star. He didn't get mobbed anywhere he went, right?
Yeah.
And then David Icke called a press conference to which three media teams attended, because, like, it's David Icke. You know, it'd be like Ashley Blake or someone off Midlands Today.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be no big deal. You know what I mean? And during this press conference, he professed to be the Son of God. And then he was wearing this. He did, George, honestly.
It's true.
He did. He professed. It's worth searching. Go home, YouTube, David Icke. There's loads of stuff. And to this day, he's still coming up with these nutty statements and everything. And it would, but it was like that. I remember watching it on the television and thinking, yeah, it's like you're saying, like, you know, if only Gordon Brown would come out with a patch on his arm.
Yeah,
you
know, beautiful.
It'd be just so interesting. But then at the same time, I can remember watching David Icke going, wow, this is so interesting. But at the same time, because the media went mad taking the mickey, you're watching somebody having some kind of breakdown.
True, yeah.
And you can't take your eyes off it. And that would be, you know, it would be that satisfying if Gordon Brown were to have a patch and a wooden leg and a parrot. And then just pitch up a parliament one day and go, do that funny breathing thing.
Yeah.
Are you lovers, you scurvy dogs? Found this. Love this story. This was from Reuters, so it's true. It's like proper people. Lost tourist turns up seven corpses. This is in Beijing. A rescue team which failed to find a missing visitor at a tourist hotspot in northern China got nasty surprised when it stumbled upon not one, not two, not three, not four, not even five or six, George, but seven corpses.
That's a lot, that is.
The team had been scouring around the Toishan Mountains in Shandong province for the Beijing tourist who vanished on the 28th of April. The Quillet Evening Post said, we accidentally, listen to this, it's a true quote, right? We accidentally found seven corpses during our search over the past days, the newspaper quoted one of the rescuers as saying. Yeah. Seven corpses?
And they're the ones that found by accident.
Seven?
Seven of them.
Just littering the streets, bodies everywhere, turn them over, seeing if it's the right one.
But that's frightening that they weren't actually looking for these corpses.
The report did not say, however, that the seven may have died, nor that they were the tourist who is still missing. The mountain is one of China's five sacred peaks, revered by Taoists, and is a magnet for Chinese visitors. Reported by Your Lee Ben Blanchard.
Are you getting these pronunciations spot on again?
Spot on.
Because I wouldn't want to offend anyone with mispronunciation.
I get onto the WCR pronunciations department every Sunday afternoon and check that I get them absolutely spot on every time. Yeah, let's give something from your side of the desk, George.
I was about to say, because if that segment there makes a podcast with our ever growing, you know, listeners, we don't want to be offending anyone in Hu-wee province. You know what I mean?
We've got listeners in China as well. Go on, give us some over there, George.
Right then, I got this from topnews.in. News you can use. Emotional intelligence is a sex booster. A new study has suggested intelligent women have more fun in bed as compared with those having a lower intelligence level. The researchers come to their solution after conducting a study on 2,035 female twins. The results showed that those with greater emotional intelligence had more and better orgasms. Their study results appeared in the Journal of Sexual Medicine. All of the 2,035 study partners were asked to fill up questionnaires regarding details of their sexual conduct and performance. They were also asked to answer questions designed to check their emotional intelligence.
Well, what's emotional intelligence? Do you know what that is?
100% what is emotional intelligence is. I mean, I don't know, they're trying to say that women that are just hard and don't care have rubbish sex, and women that are like are a bit emotional and a bit caring and tender, and oh, and, you know, they treat me properly, and oh, no, don't do that, and then, you know, let's light the candles and get the aromatherapy going. Is that intelligent sex?
Has anybody ever worked out what the candles are all about? Oh, come on, fellas, somebody must have sat down and gone, I know what the candles are for. We're all buying hundreds of candles and burning our houses down one at a time, and nobody knows what the candles are for.
On a Monday and a Thursday at 2, 10 in the morning and 2 for you. Jill and George, I call it, you know, the Technicolor Ready Show. The Technicolor Ready Show. The
Really, that hungry?
Honest to God, I won't make it.
Well, do you know why that is, why you're so hungry? Because you've stuck with the fags. You got to keep, you know, the fags fight off the starvation.
Hello again, American listeners.
Hello again, America. This is the Jim and George Fag Show. We love each and every one of you fags.
Just to save any confusion, George is talking about homosexuals there and nothing else.
Not about tobacco-based products that you put in your mouth.
I found this. Listen closely. This is a good one. This is my favourite one this week.
Is it a good one?
This is a good one. This is from the Cedar Rapids Gazette online. Okay? Follow it. I'll take my time. We'll go through it slowly together, hand in hand. We'll get this right. Okay. William J. Rees, 58, of Newhall, was charged Monday with impersonating a police officer and two counts of disorderly conduct. Rees is a civilian jailer employed by the Benton County Sheriff's Office and was on duty in that capacity when the incident took place. Vinton police say that at 3:25 p.m. on May the 1st, while operating a fully marked Benton County Sheriff's Office patrol vehicle, Rees attempted to initiate a traffic stop on another vehicle just south of Vinton on Highway 218. You with me so far?
I'm with you.
This is where it gets good. This is where it gets a bit delicious, a bit juicy.
This is where it gets...
The other vehicle was operated by an off-duty, full-time Benton County Sheriff's deputy who was aware that Rees had no lawful authority to act as a peace officer. The full-time deputy proceeded to his home and called 911 while Rees pursued at high rates of speed in the marked Benton County Sheriff's Office vehicle, passing through school zones as Vinton Shelsburg schools were being dismissed. When the full-time deputy arrived at his residence, Rees exited the patrol vehicle and began using loud and profane language and threatening gestures directed at the full-time deputy as school children passed by. This gets better. The entire incident was captured on the in-car video system inside the vehicle Rees was operating. In addition to the three criminal charges, Rees also will be cited for unauthorised use of emergency lighting and three counts of speeding as much as 35 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. Vinton police want to assure the public that this point, that this appears to involve a single individual, and the public should not have any concerns about stopping for any lawful enforcement vehicle as a result of this incident. Rees is scheduled to make an initial appearance at Benton County Magistrate Court on Wednesday. Beautiful. Love that. That's my favourite bit that he had. He's trying to pull over an off-duty sheriff's deputy. And he's just going, I'll just go home. So he's driven to his house, he's got out of the car, starts screaming and bawling at him. The fella just goes and calls the real police. Love that story. Give us one from your side of the desk, George.
Here we go. I got this from the Metro. This will tie in with the whole credit crunch thing again. Tie the knot for nothing. Couples hit by the recession can get married in a church for free. Donna Sweeney, who tied the knot with Alan Davidson at St Hild and St Helen's Church in Dorset, County Durham, on Saturday, said what they're doing is fantastic. I've got to agree with this. This whole, you know, that certain churches are marrying people for free because in these economic hard times.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Because marriage is an outrageous expense. I mean, like a normal wedding these days, you're looking at what, 10 grand easy? 10 grand. Is that cheap?
Cheap. 16, 20 grand.
See, it shows I'm so out of touch. And I think marriage...
Or cheap.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I've always been dead against marriage. But just recently, over the past month, I'm all for it now. I'm all for marriage. I can't wait to settle down with Rach. I can't wait to get a ring on her finger, and she's mine, and she's behind the sink, and nobody else can get near her. Mate, you know that primal, you know that primal man need thing.
What the, you just said?
Yeah.
And I've got this recorded. You just said get a ring on her finger and get her behind the sink
and get her locked away where nobody else can get near her. Maybe that's my insecurities. No, anyway, no, seriously, I love the girl.
You're a pig.
Well, I do enjoy a pig now and again. You know what I mean? Pigs are not like a superhero to me. Anyway, so, yeah, obviously, I love the girl and I want to settle down and look after all the rest of it. But this whole thing of marriage... is an incredible, you know, women are like, it's an incredible big self-indulgent thing that women do.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, guys just go along with it, don't they? Oh, yeah, right, and that dress costs £2,000, you know, you and your mother sort things out, and oh dear me, the flowers are coming to a grand and a half, and then, oh, I'm not sure we should really have the horse-drawn cart and carriage, and, you know, because for what he's one day, it does seem to me like it's a monstrous amount of waste of dough.
From 10 to 1 is Jim and George again, here on WCRFM. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mondays and Thursdays on your radio, it's the Technicolor Clubhouse Show.
Tell you what, you got to love the Snoop, though, haven't you?
Love the Snoop.
He's Snoop. He's just a poet, isn't he? I mean, an urban poetry at its best. The way the words just roll off his tongue. Genius.
Yeah.
The thing I like about Snoop is he's still got his credibility going for him. Even though he's done one of those terrible, trashy type at home with Snoop and the Family TV shows. You know, like...
Would you make one of those programmes if you had the opportunity?
I don't think I'd want to get... Well, I do this, so I've got the opportunity. But I know, to have a camera there 24 hours a day.
Yeah, MTV's knocking down your door.
Now, you know what I mean, giving a bit of yourself away. But
I mean, you know, to be... It's all right coming in here a couple of hours, but to completely give yourself over to that, could you do it?
Because they've got editorial control, haven't they? I think I can handle it as long as there were certain editorial decisions I could make.
I think I could handle it so long as I wasn't married to Sharon Osbourne.
You see, that's the whole thing about Sharon Osbourne. Man, who'd want to be married to her?
Do you know, Kerrang! Magazine ran a survey of the most powerful people in rock music.
Yeah.
And they put Satan at number two.
Yeah.
And Sharon Osbourne was number one.
I can kind of see where they're going with that.
Oh, that's quite cool. Let's carry on with this, try and chew for a bit of material.
What have you got?
This is from the Des Moines Register. Suspect illegal dumping was friend's dying wish. This is quite funny. This is like,
no.
You know, someone's been caught doing something and then tried to wriggle with the police. This is the story, okay? Police wrote a citation of illegal dumping to a Des Moines man Sunday evening, despite his explanation he was building a reef. Tony Dean Lane, 48, of Des Moines, admitted throwing a blue recliner in the water at Riverview Park after police observed a cushion floating on the surface and the recliner mostly submerged near the middle of the pond. So he threw a sofa. This is what's happened. He's thrown a sofa in a pond at a beauty spot, right? A witness told police he watched Lane walk across the pedestrian bridge with the recliner over his head and asked him what he intended to do with it. Lane's explanation was that he frequently went fishing there with a friend who was now deceased, and he was going to start a reef in that spot. Police said Lane was released after receiving the citation. They said in a report he told us he dumped the recliner as a request from his dead friend.
Oh, man.
And added it was his friend's dying wish. Lane was very emotional over the loss of his friend, officer said in the report. Beautiful. Yeah, love it. Love that.
That's
one.
That's a hell of an excuse, that is.
From the Des Moines Register, brought to you via the wonders of the internet. Go on, George.
Do you know what that reminds me of? Do you remember Only Fools and Horses?
Yeah.
You remember Del Boy? Whenever he wanted Rodney to do something, he'd be like, oh, and mum said on her deathbed, because obviously Rodney was too young to remember his mum dying.
Yeah.
Oh, and mum said, always tell Rodney, he must look after
yeah,
his brother.
Yeah, exactly
he must going. Always stay at home. Always tell Rodney that he used to fetch the dinner and the fish and that. He's just using
that. He said it wasn't so much, yeah. it was a deathbed speech. Yeah. You told me, mum said. Always tell Rodney to fetch the fish.
That was it. I remember the one episode, he says to Del, he says, bloody hell, Del, mum didn't have to say a lot on her deathbed. He said, don't you talk about your mother like that. And he goes, well, come on, Del, she must have spent hours upon hours and hours just talking gibberish.
Okay, so let's have some from your side of this.
All right, I got this from the Times Online. Homegrown wallabies hip in to help gardeners keep their lawns trim. Trends in lawn mowing are moving ahead in leaps and bounds as more gardens turn to homebred wallabies to keep their paddocks in trim. Thousands of miles from their native outback, the marsupials are replacing sheep, horses and geese in scores of county gardens and fields. All prospective owners need to keep their lawns clipped are half an acre of land, a lot of grass and a large fence. Trevor Lay, who runs Waverley Wildlife of Bookgay, Suffolk, has seen the man saw. He has been breeding wallabies for 25 years and he's the biggest private supplier in the UK. I didn't know you could buy wallabies in this country.
Until you said that, neither did I. But why not?
I wasn't aware of that.
Why can't we have more interesting pets?
That's mad, that is.
Wouldn't it be fabulous to have some wallabies? Why wouldn't you want wallabies?
Well, apparently, all it says here that you need, well, all you need, I mean, obviously you need to be a person of some wealth and status, is that you need at least a half acre of land, lots of grass and a very large fence, obviously. But if you did have that, I mean, can you imagine waking up every morning or having your friends round for a barbie and all of a sudden there's a current kangaroo jumping around in your garden?
That's me wallaby. Do you know what I have always been surprised at, what has never caught on as a household pet?
What's that?
In this country, what I think would make an absolutely wonderful pet in this country.
I'm trying to think now, wouldn't I?
Penguins would be brilliant.
You need a water environment for penguins.
You need a pond. You need a pond. A pond, couple of penguins.
But it's that you need to keep that ice cold temperature in the summer.
No,
that'd
you
be
don't.
A nightmare.
They don't do that at the safari park. Yeah, you have to at the safari park. They have to put suntan oil on them to stop them burning. You have to put some barrier cream on them. But that's the only concern. Not when it's really hot. Rest of the time, they'd be absolutely super.
Really?
I like you say. You know, you're having a barbecue. Yeah. Oh, wonder's your penguin.
Wonder's your penguin.
The emperor ones are 4 foot tall. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Up comes your penguin riding a wallaby. Hey! He'd be coming back to my house, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, George Clooney's got a pet pig, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Max's pet pig.
Well, he died, didn't he?
Oh, has Max died?
Yeah, but apparently he took... Yeah. A bit like, okay, we're laughing and everything, but apparently George took it really badly when Max died. He didn't respond at all well.
No, I mean, having a pet's like having a part of the family. I had a cat that lived to 19 years. Broke my heart when that cat passed away. Honestly... Poor old Spot, bless his little cotton socks in heaven.
Okay, that's it, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today on the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. You've been listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights podcast, and we sincerely hope you enjoyed it. And you must have done, because if you can hear my voice now, that means you've listened to every last second. So why don't you do us a favour, do yourselves a favour, hit that subscribe button and hit it right now. We'd like to thank everybody at Streetside for providing us with the music, along with the marvellous Mr. Rick Dougal. But as you well know, if you listened to the show before, there's only time left to say his name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. My name was Jim Smith.
My name was Georgie Pitt.
George, your battle with the guards was quite extraordinary, and I was going to ask you to join us.
Hail to the king, baby. Hail to the king.
Screwface, he give me a death a thousand times worse than you.
The whole darn thing was brought to you in conjunction with our very good friends over at Big Kahuna Burger,
Podomatic,
and WCRFM.com.
Go that way, you short-sighted scrap pile. You'll be malfunctioning within a day.
So until next time, people, you stay classy.